Leslie, I sure am glad that you're able to be here this Sunday and last Sunday and others. This lesson is for me as much as it is for everyone else. I need to hear it. And if it makes you mad, makes you angry, then you definitely needed it. Do any of you remember hearing the song, Everybody Hurts? I think it came out in 1992. And I'm just now aware of it, so I'm only 30 years back behind. But it was performed by R.E.M., and no, I'm not spelling. That's the name of the band, R.E.M. I learned something there. And I don't know hardly anything about this band, this group, but I have learned recently the words to the song, Everybody Hurts. And I'm going to read some of the words to it. When your day is long and the night is yours alone. When you're sure you've had enough of this life, well, hang on. Don't let yourself go, cause everybody cries. Everybody hurts sometimes. Sometimes everything is wrong. Now it's time to sing along. When your day is night alone, hold on, hold on. If you feel like letting go, hold on. If you think you've had too much of this life, well, hang on. And then the chorus goes, cause everybody hurts. Take comfort in your friends. Everybody hurts. If you want to hear it, they do really well. It's not a hard rock or anything like that. Google it and get the rest of the verses. It's a dark song. But it's begging people to hold on when this life seems to have no value. When it's dark. It's dark down in your heart, down in your soul. Don't do it. Just hold on. Everybody hurts sometimes. Every single person has pain in their life sometimes. Sometimes it's a sadness. Sometimes it's depression. That's something I deal with. It might be loneliness. It could be physical pain. But I know that everybody hurts sometimes, and probably most of us hurt just a little bit every day. When we remember things that we did that we're not proud of, or we might remember something that somebody else did to us 30, 40, 50 years ago. Old people, of course. So what is my point? If we stop and think about the pain that we sometimes feel and know that there are others just like us, we're not alone. Maybe we can do something. Maybe we can soothe the heart of someone else who is hurting. Or we should realize we are here in this life, in this church, together, and we can help when others hurt. Surely we can try. Surely we can do something. You know, we might even save a life. We might even save a soul. I thought about, when I was reading this, some of the things that God hates. And it occurred to me, maybe the reason, you go back to Proverbs, maybe the reason that God hates these things is because when we do these things, when we exhibit these characteristics, we can cause others to hurt. What seven things does he hurt? What seven things does he hate? Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 tells us these things. The six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. The first one is a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness. So why does God hate these things in us? Again, I believe these things can cause others pain, cause them to suffer, cause them discomfort. If we practice these things that God hates, we are surely causing others around us to suffer. Now let's look at arrogance. He didn't actually say he hates arrogant people, but he said he hates the proud look. A proud look. That's arrogance, isn't it? An arrogant person is uncaring about the feelings of others and will do things that will hurt, that will cause people to hurt. An arrogant person will not celebrate with you when you are happy and you have done something good in your life. An arrogant person will not feel the pain that you have when you're hurting for whatever reason, because of a death. An arrogant person is wrapped up in himself. An arrogant person just doesn't care how you're feeling, whether it be pain or joy. Again, they're wrapped up in themselves. And if they are occasionally nice, it's probably for their self-benefit. Now, I threw that in. You know, an arrogant person will be rude to servers in a restaurant. Have you ever, I guess it's been several months that Penny and Ann and I were in, I think, Cracker Barrel, and the guy behind us was giving the server a hard time. An arrogant person will be rude to servers. It's their fault the food is late. It's their fault the food is not cooked to their satisfaction. It's their fault that the price is high. Boy, they're high now. An arrogant person will be rude to receptionists. He'll be rude to policemen when he's pulled over. You know, that's sort of hard to believe, but there are people who are to give the policeman a hard time. And I'm going to tell you a short story, and I'm not going to tell you the name. This young man, he's not as young as he was. He's smarter now. He was driving through Gibson County, and he entered the little town, the little village of Gibson, I believe the name of it is, and he was speeding. Cop pulled him over. And I don't know what he said to the cop, but it wasn't nice. Cop gave him a ticket and radioed ahead on down Highway 70, 79, and told him, there's a blue Mustang, I'm making that part up, coming. And I said, he was smart to me. I'm making all this up, but except the part about him being smart, Alec. But anyway, he said, keep your eye open. He'll probably be speeding again. And sure enough, he was speeding again. And he got pulled over again, and he was rude again. I think it was 17 minutes between tickets. I think that's right. But since then, he's learned better. So don't be rude to people that serve you and, you know, work in places where you go. An arrogant person doesn't know how to say thank you when somebody holds a door. I've heard of people holding the door for people, and they give them a hard time for holding the door. You know, it's supposed to be you hold the door for ladies. Everybody in the South holds the door for everybody else, whether it be a lady or a gentleman. They expect it to be waited on. They expect you to hold the door open for them like they're royalty. They won't put the grocery carts away. That's one of my pet peeves. I sit in the grocery cart and I judge people. I sit in the parking lot while Ann's shopping and I judge people. I saw one the other day, a woman came out and she left the grocery cart sitting beside her truck, and she got in and she sat there a little bit and rolled one down. She threw something out in the parking lot. I said, yeah, it fits the mode. It was a pack of empty pack of cigarettes, sat there and smoked. She didn't put a grocery store, and the corral was right there. Now, I know some people are handicapped, and they can't move, but anyway. People that shop, that drive and get in the left lane on the four lane and won't get over if you want to pass, say, well, I'm doing the speed limit. They're totally ungrateful and maybe unaware of those who wait on them or serve them or around them. It's all about them. They do not spread joy. When we act arrogantly, we are not joyful. Then we're not people that you want to be around. So my admonition to you is don't be rude. Be patient. I have failed the test myself. I told you when I started that this is for me. Just remember your words, your actions can cause somebody to hurt. And you can ruin, one person can ruin somebody's day. And everybody else might be nice all day long, ruin their day. I Googled the characteristics of arrogant people, and I didn't write this, but I'm gonna read this real fast because I want us to get out by 8:30. Definition of arrogant person: anyone who thinks they are better, smarter, or more important than others is an arrogant person. 15 signs of arrogance: bragging or one man upmanship. You are celebrating an accomplishment, and they think they can they can do better. They can tell you something better that they've done by tearing you down. They are rude and think they should always go first. They have a great need to be right. They've got to be right and show their superiority. They seek admiration. They exaggerate their abilities and accomplishments. They have a my way or the highway attitude. They don't see their own faults. They just see your faults. A lack of self-awareness. They see everybody else as competition. I've got to beat that person. They must be seen as the best. They talk over others. They butt in, constantly interrupting others when they want to be heard. Now, with us older people, we have to interrupt or we'll forget what we're going to say. We can't wait till they get through, you know. You understand that. I know some of you nodding your head. But it's not polite. They're always disagreeable. They're defensive, ready to argue and even fight if their ideas are challenged. They give off an air of royalty, their superiority, I guess. I'm better than you. They lack empathy. They don't care if you hurt them. We've already talked about that. They lack compassion and that's not in them. They are self-obsessed. Me too, me, it's me. They have to be heard. They put down others. Rules don't apply to them. Remember, God hates arrogance. He hates a proud look. So if any of these, if we have any of these traits, maybe just one or two, we need to work on those. We have some work to do. So in verse 18, we read where, did I skip a verse? Oh, yeah. Back in where I read out of Proverbs. In verse 18, we read where God hates feet that are swift in running to evil. Now, this could be referring to most any evil scheme that a person might have, but I immediately thought about gossipers. I've known people who seem to thrive on gossip. They spread it. They listen to it. They take tales that they've heard and tell them as the truth, and when they don't even check and see if they are truth, and it doesn't make any difference if they are truth, they got no business spreading somebody else's business. That's what they're doing. They're taking somebody else's business and spreading it around. Their motive is to hurt. Their motive is to make themselves look interesting. I'm guilty. I've done it, and I'm not proud of it. Hopefully, gossip makes them look good and somebody else look bad. Some people just gossip for entertainment. Let's look at a verse in Romans chapter 1. I want you to notice the company that the Apostle Paul put gossipers. He didn't call them gossipers. He called them whisperers. talebearers. All right, starting with verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God to their knowledge, in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased man to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters. We're talking about gossipers here. Haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and that's spiritual death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now again, where did he mention gossipers? When he said backbiters and whisperers. People that are spread gossip, they don't get on the loudspeaker. They come out, I got something I want to tell you. It's something they whisper. Paul places these gossipers, those that are unrighteous and sexually immoral, murderers, evil men, he lumps them all together. So sometimes we think, this is a little sin and this is a big sin, where murder is certainly a big sin, but gossip, who you hurt? We hurt ourselves and we hurt those people that we're talking about. So if we still feel gossip to be harmless, just remember what the Apostle Paul wrote, and that came from God. Paul says they're deserving of death. But my point tonight is this. Gossip has no value and causes hurt. Everybody hurts sometimes. Sometimes that hurt is caused by somebody gossiping about them. If you know something shaky or suspect, we need to keep it to ourselves. Keep our mouths shut. Stay out of other people's business and cause no hurt. No pain. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you lack nothing. The words that I wanted us to get there is minding our own business. So many times we worry about what sin somebody else is engaged in and not looking inward. I'm guilty. I'm working on it. Ann and I'll be talking about something, and I'll say, but it's none of my business, is it? And it's not. Jesus told us in Matthew to treat others like we'd like to be treated. The golden rule, right? We would like others to treat us with kindness and respect. I don't think there's anybody in here that would disagree with that. So we need to treat others with kindness and respect. We might not ever know how much a smile or a kind word can do to help somebody along. It might even make their hurt go away. I've read accounts of people who were on the brink of suicide, and someone did something or said something that brought them back from the edge of that abyss where they're standing. They fix and do their self-harm. My brother that was 2 years and a half older than me, we were two grades apart. We were buddies when we were little kids. When I was in first grade, if the bully picked on me, he had to whip Sam Riley. And he would. He would not whip Sam Riley. I never saw anybody whip him. So I was pretty safe. Sam Riley wrestled with demons in the latter part of his life. He had a lot of mental problems. He was in and out of mental institutions, jail, a drinking problem. The last words that I can remember that I spoke to him, he came to school where I was teaching, and he got on to me. He would imagine things, and they were real in his mind. But he would imagine people said things, did things to hurt him. But he came to demand an apology to me, from me. And I didn't handle it right. I said, "Sam Riley, you need to go back to California and leave me alone." Now, I don't think I caused him to do what he did, but he took his own life. We need to think about how we affect others every day. You don't know how much a smile would mean to a person, or just a kind word, a friendly word. Paul said in Colossians 3:12, "Put on then as God's chosen, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." So if we exhibit these characteristics in our relationship with others, we will be a blessing. We'll be a blessing to our church. We'll be a blessing to our family. We'll be a blessing to everybody if we put on what Paul told us to do. We'll be an encouragement to others and not cause them any hurt, don't cause any harm. I've heard that's the motto of med school, don't cause any harm. Am I making that up, Joe? Have you ever heard that? Just don't cause any harm. Well, we as Christians should never cause any harm. Sometimes we do. God's appeal for us is to accept the salvation offered through His Son. He gave His Son as a sacrifice for us. That wasn't justice, so our sins could be forgiven. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. By hearing the gospel, we must confess our faith in Him, and we must repent of our sins and put Him on in baptism, be buried with Him, and rise up a new man. If you need to do this, or you need to come back by repentance and prayer, let it be known while we stand and sing.